I've got more adventures, more insights, more things to report live from Jerusalem. Taking your calls as well right here today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, the adventure from Israel continues. I'm coming your way live from Jerusalem. What an amazing few days it has been. What an interesting day it has been so far. And I'm going to take you behind the scenes and some of these adventures and behind the scenes right now in the hotel from which I am broadcasting live in Jerusalem. Another day fraught with interesting things I want to share with you. And any question you have, any Jewish-related question, today's a great day to call. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Hey, before I forget, all of you who use Facebook, go to my Facebook fan page. If you've never been there, just like it. It's Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. That's A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. I posted just a few minutes ago an amazing picture from an ancient synagogue in a city called Susia. It was about a 2.5 hour drive from our hotel. I was there with my friend Avner Bosky, who's going to be joining me tomorrow night. Be my last night now from Jerusalem on this trip. And Avner is amazing in terms of his knowledge of the land and custom and background and history and tradition. So we're going to have a great time with Avner tomorrow. But Avner, who's on the show with me, and Michael Rudelnik, a dear friend and colleague from the States, from Moody Bible Institute, we were at this synagogue in Susia. It was used from about 400 to 900, so it's ancient. It's just a few hundred years after a synagogue that Yeshua would have been in himself, and very similar in style and layout to what he would have been. And so it's a great picture. We're broadcasting from there yesterday, but there's a fascinating inscription. When you walk into the synagogue, there's a fascinating inscription. Now, it's fragmentary. It's not complete. It's in Aramaic, which is a sister language to Hebrew, and would have been the native tongue that Jesus would have spoken growing up in Galilee. But it's dedicated in memory of Yeshua. And it even mentions comfort or comforter. There's a question as to whether this was a Messianic Jewish synagogue, as to whether this synagogue was used by Jewish followers of Jesus. Now, it could have been simply dedicated to someone named Yeshua. Yeshua was a very common name in Jesus' day, just like John has been a common name for decades in America. Yeshua was a very common name in Jesus' day and still continued for some time after that. But it's fascinating to see this dedication and even the comfort or comforter or comfort from him. Does that have to do with the Holy Spirit? It's a question. It's very fascinating to see. But it would also lend credence to the idea that's supported by ancient church historians that many of the Jewish believers continued to meet as Jews. And what's written in James, Jacob, the second chapter? It talks about if a rich man comes into your meeting place. But you know what the Greek word used there for meeting place? It's synagogue, synagoges in Greek. Now, virtually every other time in virtually all English translations that you see synagogues in Greek, it's translated with synagogue. Jesus went to the synagogue. Paul preached in the synagogue. Synagogue. Here in James, Jacob, the second chapter, which is written by Jacob, a Jewish believer, to Jewish believers scattered around the world, just like Corinthians was written to Corinthian believers and Thessalonians to Thessalonian believers. James, Jacob, wrote his letter to Jewish believers scattered around the world. And where did they meet? Well, Jews met in synagogues. That's what the gathering place was called. That's what it should be called if someone comes into your synagogue, namely a meeting place for Jews, in this case, Jewish believers. So it's possible that this ancient synagogue was one that was used by Jewish believers who were followers of Jesus and who continued to live as Jews, not because they had to keep the law to be saved, but because as Jews, this was part of their culture, tradition, and met in synagogues. All right, got a bunch of things to share with you, some things to challenge you with. Stay with me right here on The Line of Fire.
Change the world. The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Here we are, live in Jerusalem. I just got to recount some of what's happened over the last few days and today as well. Glad to be here, taking your calls, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. I was scheduled to leave the hotel for our TV shoots with the Day of Discovery today, about 8 in the morning Israel time, which would have been about 2 in the morning stateside time, so about 12 hours ago. Got on the bus. We had some delays. We were waiting for one of our local crew from Israel, and finally was able to join us. He was stuck in traffic. We got to our location. Today we're going to be shooting in different parts of the old city. And we were going to be by the Temple Mount and doing some shooting there, Mondays and Thursdays by the wall that's called the Kotel by the Israelis, and Christians call it the Wailing Wall. At that location, there are bar mitzvahs on Mondays and Thursdays. These are special times of celebration and the rite of passage for young Jewish men. So those are going on. It's a festive atmosphere. And we're going to be talking about some of the feasts and holy days and things like that. And I suggested, hey, maybe we could just do, we had two shows to record. I said, maybe we could get everything done and skip lunch, go into early mid-afternoon, something like that, and quit real early. And because the other days we were going into 7, 8 at night, and everyone understood now these were the shorter days because I had to get back to do radio after the weekend. So I suggested that. It actually ended up being the opposite. We had so many delays that we weren't able to even start the first show until after lunch. Thankfully, we got everything done in time and was able to get back to the hotel in time where the adventure continued. But here's what happens. We're trying to look, the producer of the show is trying to look for the right setting, the right light at the right time. And you got a celebration going on over here. They got the drums and everyone kind of chanting and celebrating. And that's going on over here. And then something else going on over here and a tour group over there. And we knew all these obstacles would be there. The question was the right location, the right time, the right setting. And so we finally were under this olive tree. And we're going to be standing under this olive tree, and we're going to be talking about some of the feasts and holy days, actually Shavuot, Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. And so the celebration, the wedding celebration starts to pick up. Another one comes walking by us, or bar mitzvah celebration. This all starts to pick up, and it's pretty loud, and we're just smiling, waiting for that to pass. Well, while we're standing there under the olive tree, you got the whole camera crew. I mean, it's a big setup. It's a lot of people. It's a big setup to make this thing work properly. Very, very well done, professionally done. So we're waiting there under the tree. And then, it's time for the prayer call, the Muslim prayer call. And that goes on for a while. And that's really loud. That's broadcast loud, loudspeakers, the Islamic call to prayer. That's going on. Like, okay, what next? And then suddenly, we didn't realize it, but this was automatically watered, the area where we were standing, and suddenly everybody starts getting sprayed. Now, I don't know how it is. I avoided it. Maybe being very spiritual, I kind of avoided the water and walked out. No, just messing with you. But everybody starts getting sprayed with water, sprinklers from all different corners, and somehow where I was standing didn't touch me. They got to grab cameras. They got to grab sound equipment. Starts getting wet. Pull that out of the way. We thought, okay, perhaps we're not supposed to shoot from here, and ended up finally getting everything done in the afternoon. Some gorgeous setting, gorgeous shot, great content on the shows, I believe. Got back to the hotel, and even though I wanted to rest for about a half hour, then get a salad, then get ready for the broadcast, take an hour or so, get ready for everything, I just want to make sure that the room that they had me in last time, Masada room, and I'll tell you about the significance of that with my friend Avner Bosky tomorrow night. I just want to make sure that the room was ready as they had it, because it seats like 50 people and it's used for meals, but it was open these other nights and they had it set apart for me. And I go down, it looks like it's going to be used. Something looked a little funny. So I went, got the same fellow who helped me. We got the network cable all set up. He said, all right, just be sure that the room is reserved, that no one has it. So I talked to the front desk, the receptionist. We reviewed the things. He said, right. I know the radio show, the arrangements, all of this. And I said, all right, are we sure? We got it 7 to 10, you know, Israel time. Yep, 7 to 10, so we do our sound check, get everything ready to go. And I'm back in my room, and the producer for Day of Discovery happened to just check to be sure everything was okay, being conscientious, and finds out they're setting up the room for dinner. So we have to go get other people, and the dinner is not until after my show. Somehow it starts at 10:30 or 11 tonight, Israel time. So every so often, some guys will come in because the head guy knows nobody comes in the room, nobody moves anything, nobody carries tables. So if suddenly you hear like clanging silverware and everybody's celebrating, it means someone didn't get the message, in which case, hey, well, I'll have dinner. I'll just invite them to join me live on the show. But the adventure continues, and some moving things happen on the trip, just some things that grip you, that give you deeper perspective. I want to share more of that with you and some exciting news as well. So whole bunch of things to talk with you about. 866-34-TRUTH. But first, let me take some calls, starting with Anil in Greenbelt, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Glad you're there. And I had a question about studies. I'm a part-time seminary student. I know Israel probably is good for Old Testament study. Do you know of any places there, and you probably could put it on your website if you're so inclined, the information, are there places you recommend for New Testament study in Israel proper?
Yes, absolutely. There are a few. There are schools that have been around for some years, like Holy Land Institute and things like that. But one that I've been more affiliated with, I've done a little teaching for, and I have a number of friends involved with it, is the Israel College of the Bible. Israel College of the Bible, and online it is israelcollege.com. And they do have programs, of course, for local Israelis, full-time programs and things like that, and Hebrew programs. But they also have one-year programs, and people can come over and study with the Israeli believers and the Arab believers alike. So israelcollege.com. Check that out and tell them I sent you, all right?
Great, great information, and it'll be a great experience to study in Israel.
All right, thank you. God bless you. You know, we were, before the show today, well, before, after, different times of the show, walking around by the ruins where the temple used to stand. And it's very interesting that anything of Islamic significance in the history of the Muslim people, Arab peoples, is clearly marked and demarcated and preserved and mentioned, and you've got the historical background. Sadly, when Jerusalem was under Islamic control, the holy sites were destroyed or just allowed to deteriorate. Or there's even ongoing attempt right now by Palestinian Authority to remove ancient artifacts from under the Temple Mount. Israel's had a very different posture, just to be totally straight with you on that and totally honest with you. But we were walking around, and you have these, it's kind of like a pit, you know, with steps going down into it. And these are ancient mikvaot. These would have been ritual immersion tanks or pits or pools, would be the right word. This is where people would, quote, be baptized. You see, baptism was not some new custom set up by Christians. Baptism just means immersion. And there was ritual immersion required in the Hebrew scriptures and Torah law that if someone became unclean, let's say they touched a dead body or something like that, they'd have to go outside the camp. They were ritually defiled. And then they would immerse themselves in water, the water, special water that was set apart, and then they could come back into the camp. And then, you know, the priest, before he would go to minister in the holy place, would wash his hands and feet. And so this became symbolic of cleansing and washing as well for the people. And by the time of Jesus' day, you had many, many baptismal pools, or immersion pools, I should say, where Jewish people would go before going into the temple. And they would ritually immerse, and then they would go into the temple. So when Peter preaches on Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, which we talked about for one of the programs on the Day of Discovery today, there were plenty of pools where Jews could be immersed. And he wasn't giving them some new thing. Now just join the Christian church. Just join the Christian church and say the sinner's prayer and buy a cross. And walk. No, he wasn't telling Jews to just do some new thing that we associate with called Christianity. He's telling them, repent and be immersed, because this is what you do for cleansing, for washing. 866-34-TRUTH. So when you're in the land, you look around, there's just a lot of stuff. That this is the way it was, and it really drills things home. Let's go to Trent in British Columbia in Canada. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. First of all, Hello. Thank you so much for your ministry and everything, especially in answering Jewish objections to Jesus and so on.
Thank you, sir.
I have one question here that's, in one sense, just like a technical question. And then if you do have time, there's another quick Jewish-related question that I would
sure.
have. The first is, you know, I've started to come across people lately who have been promoting the idea that historically and biblically, the day begins from sunrise rather than the classic, you know, sunset to sunset.
Huh.
So I was just wondering what type of comments you might have in that regard.
Got it. All right, stay right there. I'll be right back and answer you on the other side of the break.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, live from Jerusalem. You know, I must have this giant smile on my face just because the way the whole day went today was so wild. And then getting to the hotel and realizing that all the arrangements we had made for the broadcast the end of last week, we didn't have to start from scratch, but not everything was carried over. But everything's great, smooth. It's just kind of the adventure of life and the joy of being on the radio with you. You know, I love TV. I love the shows that can be produced and the quality of it. And you can do things on TV you can't do on radio. Conversely, you can do a whole lot on radio you can't do on TV, including just live talk from a setting like this. By the way, because I was on TV all day, I wasn't dressed up and I had to be dressed a certain way. I am dressed down now. I'm officially in relaxed radio clothes. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go back to Trent in British Columbia, Canada. Hey, Trent, just one thing about British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Vancouver in 1986.
Okay.
And just out on the water and stuff, it's some of the most beautiful country I've seen. On the other hand, spiritually, it was pretty dark. I understood that the percentage of believers in that part of the country was pretty low, just like Washington State is low in America and BC. Is that still the case there?
You know, that's very interesting that you say that, because this summer I've kind of been traveling around from, you know, Saskatchewan, which is basically central Canada, coming back to BC, then I went down to Texas, and what I've kind of noticed throughout the summer and previously going to Toronto and so on, it seems like the further east you go, generally speaking, the more spiritual people are, and the further west people seem to be quite indifferent.
Interesting.
Just as a generalization. And so sadly, yeah, that still is the case from what I've seen.
Very interesting. Well, we keep praying that the drier it is, the easier it is to catch fire, too.
Amen.
All right, so in terms of your question, that's kind of a bizarre idea.
Yeah.
Simply in terms of, from Genesis, it's evening, then morning. And that's the way things start, right at the creation account. And then that's presupposed through the Bible. When days are counted, when a day begins, when Sabbath would begin, when a holy day would be emphasized, it would begin in terms of sunset, and then it's sunset to sunset. So, for example, in the hotel here, when we came back on Friday night after a TV shoot all day, the hotel had a buffet open, but there was nothing that had been cooked. You couldn't be cooking nothing that was being cooked fresh. There was
right.
this buffet and salads and things like that, and then that would go for 24 hours. There are certain elevators that a religious Jew will use, because in Jewish mindset, the electronics involved in an elevator would involve a spark or something that would violate rules of work in Jewish tradition. So you have what's called a Shabbat elevator, and it stops on every floor automatically. So you don't push the button, which is somehow considered work. And it's an odd thing, but it's a Jewish tradition. So you always want to avoid the Shabbat elevator because we're on the 17th floor. Otherwise, it's a long ride up there. But then when Sabbath ends, so it's evening to evening, sunset to sunset, when Sabbath ends, then everything goes back to normal. Yeah, so that, do you have any idea where people get that from? Because that's quite bizarre.
Yeah, well, not really. It's just I noticed it was actually at a gathering last Passover that I was at, and people were giving this thing out. And, you know, it has different quotes from different commentaries, and it has one here, which at least it says from the Jewish Encyclopedia, saying it was originally reckoned from sunset. And, like, in my study of it from the Bible, it doesn't seem to be scriptural, but the historical aspect, I was wondering if you had come across any information in that regard.
The Jewish custom has been through the centuries, going back to biblical times, sunset to sunset.
Okay.
Fair. So I don't know where someone would come up with something different to that. Hey, let's keep praying for the fire to fall in British Columbia and wherever God is moving for the encouragement of the believers.
Amen. Is it? Do I have time just for one more quick question?
Oh, sure, sure. Go ahead, real quick.
Okay, sure. The question is basically, are there any resources that are available, which basically show how the Old Testament uses itself, as in how do the prophets and so on quote or.
Yeah,
you know,
there are a number of studies, and if you look at a Jewish scholar who's really influential in a lot of this is Michael Fishbane, Fishbane. Look for Michael Fishbane and things that have to do with what's called intertextuality, so how the biblical text quotes itself.
Okay.
Bruce Waltke's done some interesting things on that, but Michael Fishbane is kind of a pioneer in that, and the concept. It's called intertextuality. Again, the biblical text quoting itself, in this case, how do later Old Testament authors use other portions of the Old Testament? And when you understand it, it's like, wow, fascinating.
Look
at the interplay.
Yeah, I figured it'd be enlightening as to how the New Testament, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So some of the same patterns continue. Absolutely, and that scholarship is included. Hey, Trent, appreciate the questions. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, let me share this with you quickly. We were in Jerusalem, and there is a wall up. It's 97% of the security fence/wall is a fence going through Israel. About 3% roughly is wall. And it's been put up to keep murderers out. It's been put up to keep terrorists out. It's mind-boggling to me to see how there'll be inscriptions on it, as if, you know, people writing on it, scrolling, as if Israel is a terrorist, or we're Christians and we're standing with the Palestinians and, you know, the evil Israelis, the Nazi Israelis. It may not have all those words there, but elsewhere those things would be found. And I thought, it's just so short-sighted and remarkable to realize that the wall was put up to keep murderers out. And on the other side of the wall, they're Arabs, Palestinians, just doing their general business, working, doing what they do. And the fact is, it was a security fence and some small parts of wall. And because of it, terrorist attacks have dropped dramatically. And I was talking to a young man, an American who'd made Aliyah, became an Israeli citizen, and who has just finished his service time in the army. And he was telling about the attitude of the army, and he showed me a code of conduct in Hebrew. And I was looking online just to see if there are translations available for folks. A code of conduct in Hebrew, that valuing all life and being committed to preserving life as much as possible. He said, you're not allowed to leave the base. Before you leave the base, they check your ID, and they check to make sure you have the code of conduct in your wallet. The way Israel is demonized is one of the ugliest things that has happened in my lifetime. Friends, we have an opportunity to get the real kosher Jesus out in Hebrew. Some providential things have happened. There'll be an opportunity in not that long a period of time to get it into the hands of every believer in the land and then to use it evangelistically. But there's so many things we want to do in Jewish ministry. We need your help. I'm being as straight as I can. We need your help to stand with us and help us do what we do. I did some at the end of last week. I want to repeat it. This is not for sale yet. My debate in New York City, March 13th, with Rabbi Shmuley, Kosher Jesus. We just got it. This is not the one that Sid Roth moderated. This is the two of us going at it. That, plus my interviews with leaders from Jerusalem last week. Your gift of any size, and I want to send the DVD and the CDs to. Call right now, though, 1-800-278-9978. Stand with me here in Israel, 1-800-278-9978. 9978. Together we're making a difference.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Before I forget, go to charismanews.com, charismanews.com, and read this article, The Diversity Police Strike Again. I put it out on Town Hall on Saturday. It just came out an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago on charismanews.com. The Diversity Police Strike Again. And I might talk with you about that on Wednesday, but it's an important article to read. Diversity Police Strike Again. Why was a black African-American woman, a black woman, deaf woman, why was she put on administrative leave from her university, served the university faithfully for 23 years? Why was she placed on administrative leave? You will not believe it. 866-34-TRUTH as we come your way live from Jerusalem. If you haven't gone to my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook, check it out. A great shot from the ancient synagogue in Susia, where we did broadcasting yesterday. And I want to get back to Israel being demonized, and I'll go back to your calls, 866-348-7884. There was a horrific massacre. I know any massacre is horrific, but some are more horrific than others. There was a Jewish family living in a settlement in Israel, Orthodox Jewish family, mom, dad, and a number of kids. A couple of the kids were out at an activity with some of the other youth in the settlement where they were. But two terrorists, Palestinian terrorists, came in the middle of the night and attacked in cold blood and slit the throat of the father and mother in their beds. And then I believe three other children, down to a three-month-old. According to some reports, the three-month-old was decapitated. The Fogel family. Now, I knew about this, and I talked about it in the lecture I gave at University of South Florida earlier this year, Is Israel an Evil Occupier? And the Fogel family, the survivors, the other family, they wanted pictures released. Not things were blotted out in the pictures, but they wanted everyone to see the blood, the gore, the horror of this, to understand what happened. Okay, I knew that part of the story, but I found out from this young man who had just gotten out of his time of service in the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces. He said another part to the story the news doesn't report. A couple days after the event, the house is filled with people still. They're investigating. They're looking at everything that's happened and the crime scene. And so there were soldiers there. There were medics there, the whole bit. A car comes racing up there with Palestinians in it, with a woman, a mother, who is about to give birth and needs medical help. Hang on. There were two Palestinian terrorists that just went in that home a couple days earlier and slaughtered a family, mom, dad, and little children, including an infant, in cold blood. Correct. But the Palestinians knew that Israelis were going to be there and that there were medics there, and that they knew that if they could find these Israeli medics, they would help this woman give birth. And, of course, they did it. Hang on. In the very house in which the Fogel family had been slaughtered, the Israeli medics helped this woman give birth to a kid. I don't know why these things are not reported, and that's something I didn't hear except an inside story from someone in the army. But that's the reality, friends. And of course, Israel needs to be held to account when it does things that are not right and when it is oppressive or when it is unjust, of course. I'd be the first to be a critic. But the demonizing of Israel and the glorifying of the Palestinian cause and the leaving out of the elephant in the room, radical Islam, is such an extraordinary injustice. And the fact that Christians are buying into it, again, the deep, deep exception that I take to Porter Speakman's video with God and Our Son. We've had him on the air. We want to find common ground. He's a brother in the Lord. We'll continue to dialogue. He said he wants to learn from me. I want to learn from him. But I want to say once again, this demonizing of Israel, the fact that churches and leaders and Christian young people are getting into it, is a horrific injustice that needs to be repented of. All right, back with your calls right here on the Line of Fire.
It's is The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Remember, tomorrow I'm going to be joined by Avner Voski. He has a unique upbringing, a unique story. He's lived in the land many years. He's been an official tour guide at different times. And we're going to have a fascinating discussion about lots of issues. But especially if you've got questions about things in Israel or you know, an archaeological find, or is this really true about that this location or that, he's great on that. So he'll be joining me for 2 hours tomorrow, 866-348 to the phone. Steve in Fredericksburg, Virginia, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown.
Hey.
I have a question about the blessing of Abraham and God's covenant with Abraham. Is it
Yes.
a covenant of blessing only?
Well, if you want to talk about what was given to Abraham specifically... Specifically, there was a covenant of blessing. It was an unconditional covenant. In Genesis 15, only God passed through the pieces of the which was symbolic of entering into a covenant. Abram was sleeping. However, the condition of receiving the benefit of it was that you had to circumcise your sons on the eighth day. Otherwise, they would be cut off from Abraham and his descendants. But the covenant itself was just a land promise, period. Now, when the Sinaitic covenant was given, the law of Moses, then that had conditions which included blessings and curses. But the Abrahamic covenant itself was simply one of blessing, and that's what you read in Genesis 12 and then repeat it to Isaac and to Jacob. There was no curse associated with it except that those that cursed or reviled Abraham's descendants would themselves be cursed or reviled.
So could you comment then upon how it applies to New Testament covenant and that we are of faith by the faith of Abraham?
And well, surely the first principle is that we're justified. We come into right relationship with God the same way he did, namely by faith and not by works. So he first believed before he was circumcised. After he was circumcised, he continued to believe, so he's the father of faith for the uncircumcised and circumcised. And all who are children of faith, Jew and Gentile, are children of Abraham in the spirit. And we receive the blessing through which we can be a blessing to the entire world. There was a specific land promise that was given to Isaac and to Jacob, and that was then for the physical descendants of Israel, the 12 tribes. And that was the promised land from whence I'm broadcasting right now. So that physical land promise to the land of Israel does not apply to all believers. Our general promise is the meek will inherit the earth, that the whole world and even the universe belongs to us, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 3. As far as the rest of our walk with the Lord, as far as there being blessings or curses or blessings for obedience or potential punishment for disobedience, that's now through God dealing with us in the New Testament. And I would not look to the Abrahamic covenant in terms of how God deals with us in the New Testament. I would look to the New Testament itself.
So what part of, when it says that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us, what all does that entail then?
It entails, as I said, being justified by faith and coming into right relationship with God by faith. And then through us, blessing can come to the entire world as we proclaim the message of Jesus. That's the blessing of Abraham. That's what's being spoken of.
It doesn't mean a... Because you hear people talk about the blessing of Abraham and that Abraham was a very rich man.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know a lot of people... Oh, okay, here's what you can say, and I appreciate your specific question. I didn't know where you were going with that. The idea that the blessing of Abraham coming our way means that we should all be rich and prosperous is absolutely untrue, and certainly not what Paul ever had in mind. There's not a stitch of a reference to that in Paul's writings as he comments on the same in Galatians 3 or in Romans 4. Now, that being said, a great sign of blessing in ancient times was prosperity. That as Abraham honored the Lord, that God blessed him with riches in many ways. And when Job, a righteous man, honored the Lord, God blessed him with riches. There's and under the law, it was a constant promise of God that if you obey, I'll bless you, including with physical prosperity. If you disobey, I'll curse you, including with poverty. And then the book of Proverbs reinforces that as we give with generosity, God gives back to us. And that concept that God blesses generosity, that God blesses the righteous, and that he even blesses us with prosperity in this world, that's actually reiterated in and of itself in the New Testament. However, in the New Testament, the emphasis is now that we don't live primarily for this age, but for the age to come. So we have a greater revelation of the fact that we're passing through, and we don't want to store up our treasures here on the earth. We can have things, but the goal is to store up treasure in heaven. Also, our great goal is to be conduits of blessing, not to hoard up things for ourselves, but as God blesses us, to have that blessing and pour it out to as many people as we possibly can. So therefore, to be channels of blessing. And then we also recognize, finally, that often those who have the least in this world, the poor of this world that Jacob makes reference to in the second chapter, are often those who are the richest in faith and often at the front lines of the kingdom. And many times it's difficult for those who are attached to riches to follow Jesus because he requires complete surrender and sacrifice. That being said, it is wrong to say that the blessing of Abraham means physical prosperity. So thanks for the question, Steve, and thanks for pressing your point there. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael in Galveston, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, my question has to do with what is the Jewish belief as far as tithing for today?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I get asked endlessly about my view of tithing for believers today, and I don't answer it on the air all the time, otherwise we talk about it three times a week. But what do Jews think about tithing today? That's a question I don't get asked a lot, so thank you, Michael. Let me answer it in parts. A secular Jew doesn't think about it at all. They're not. If a secular Jew is a member of a synagogue, they pay a fee to be able to get tickets to go to the synagogue, say, for the High Holy Days when it can be packed out, or to have certain benefits of membership that your kid can be bar mitzvahed there or something like that. Otherwise, if you're giving, it just happens to be that you're generous and you're helping other causes. But a religious Jew understands that they should be supporting the community, they should be supporting the poor in the community, or various Jewish causes. So they will not have the same systematic thing like when you go to your church service that you write a check and put it in the offering plate and it's the tenth of your earnings for that week. They won't do it like that, but a religious Jew will be consciously giving charity. It won't be the same fixed amount even the way a Muslim would do it, and of course they're giving less than we are as followers of Jesus. But a religious Jew would still be recognizing that they're supposed to tithe. The Pharisees in Jesus' day tithed scrupulously, as you remember, and Jesus criticized them for being so focused on certain little things that they lost sight of the bigger issues, the bigger giving. But a religious Jew today would give to various Jewish causes in the community, to needy in the community, to other things like that, so that it would equal to, in some cases, a tithe, in some cases, more.
So the today's Jew doesn't necessarily believe that he's commanded to do this.
Oh, no, no. No, they would.
He does it out of the kindness and genuineness of his heart.
No, a religious Jew does everything by commandment. In other words, a religious Jew loves the fact that God has given him all these commandments and feels that this is a sacred privilege. When a religious Jewish man wakes up in the morning, one of the first prayers he prays is, God, I thank you that I'm not a woman, I'm not a slave, and I'm not a Gentile. And we hear that and think, wow, what an ugly prayer, what a demeaning prayer. But what it's meant is that only a religious Jewish man is required to keep all of the Torah. A woman is exempt from certain commandments for obvious reasons of things that can happen in her life where she wouldn't be able to fulfill a commandment. And then a slave, of course, is unable to because of being under a master's bidding, and a Gentile is not required to. So it's only a free male religious Jew or a Jew that would be required to keep all the commandments. So to them, that's a sacred thing. And everything they do, they're doing by law codes, they're doing by traditions, and they grow up not just, hey, spend some time with the Lord and see what's on your heart. No, you grew up with, this is when we wake up. These are the prayers that we pray. This is how we dress ourselves, you know, certain, just in certain aspects. These are foods that we eat and don't eat. These are prayers we pray after the meal. These are prayers you pray when you leave the bathroom. These are things you do, you know, in this sitting and that sitting. So everything comes by way of commandment, but it's considered to be a joy. It's considered to be a privilege by religious Jews. So they tithe by commandment. It's just not as fixed that you just give it to, quote, your local congregation. It would be given to various Jewish community needs. All right. I want to share some more things with you from Israel, from an Israeli perspective. We come back right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Here was a story about a Vietnamese poet, a political prisoner for decades, just died recently in the States, oh, about a week ago. I had not heard of him before. I found his story very moving. And I think I'm going to talk to you about it on Wednesday. There's nothing time sensitive with it. If you want to look up his story, boy, I don't want to butcher this name. Here's how it is spelled in English. N-G-U-Y-E-N. N-G-U-Y-E-N. This is his first name. C-H-I. Then last name, T-H-I-E-N. T-H-I-E-N. If you just type in T-H-I-E-N, Vietnamese poet or Vietnamese dissident poet, even without his name, I'm sure you'll find it. A moving story, a story of real courage, courage to stand for conviction and not compromise. I was going to share it with you today, but as a focus more on things happening in Israel and taking your calls, I believe I'm going to talk to you about that on Wednesday. I'm putting together a special program Wednesdays. That'll be a travel day flying back to the States. And then we've got a Jewish outreach scheduled for Thursday night in the Fort Lauderdale, Florida area, and then fly back early Friday morning to get ready for Radio Friday afternoon. We'll come your way live from Florida, God willing, on Thursday. And then we start our missions conference this weekend. So a busy time. I'd appreciate your prayers. But if you get a chance, just type in Vietnamese dissident poet, and I'm sure you'll get his story and how he refused to compromise and what it cost him. And then a little assignment for you, all right? Go to charismanews.com, charismanews.com. And check out the article I wrote, published today, The Diversity Police Strike Again. Here is an African-American woman, deaf, who has been a leader at Gallaudet University, been on the staff there for 23 years in Washington, D.C. It's, I understand, a premier school for the deaf. She earned her Ph.D. there, an accomplished woman. Why was she put on administrative leave? Read the article, find out, and I'll talk to you about that on Wednesday as well. Okay, one last thing I want to share with you that's fresh in my heart from Israel. Israel is not just Jerusalem. It's not just the city of Jerusalem. In fact, it's far from that. There's a rich history throughout the region that's really quite extraordinary. But we were standing in Jerusalem. We were talking on one of the TV shows. This is Avner Bosky, who will be joining me tomorrow night, and Michael Rudelnik, Jewish believer, professor at Moody Bible Institute, and the three of us doing these shoots for Day of Discovery. And we were looking over parts of the city. We were standing in an ancient graveyard on the Mount of Olives, broadcasting from there, asking the question that Ezekiel asked, was asked by the Lord many centuries ago, can these bones live? Looking out at the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock built by Muslims. And I started talking to the guys. In between shoots, we're constantly talking about these issues anyway. Riding on the bus, we're talking about these issues. And I said, when I deal with atheism, I have a simple little thesis, which is this. I think, therefore God exists. Not the old syllogism, I think, therefore I am, but rather, I think, therefore God exists. In other words, the fact that there are rational human beings, that life has developed on planet Earth, and that we have rational, moral beings called human beings who can even deduce and understand and have self-consciousness and can even figure out these things about moral issues and discover aspects of the universe, that is sufficient proof to me that there is a God who created us. Now, that may leave you flat. That may not mean anything to you, but it's very meaningful to me because here I am, a thinking human being with morals and rational consciousness. It's clear there is a creator. We did not just come out of nothing. Nothing did not create everything, to put it another way. And we stood looking out over the city of Jerusalem, now filled with hundreds of thousands of Jews and Arabs in this greater area now, and millions in the immediate state of Israel. And here it is, thriving once again. And I said to the guys, Jerusalem is, therefore the rest of it's going to happen. In other words, there's no question that Zechariah 12 and 14 will be fulfilled, and that nations will surround Jerusalem. Nations will surround Jerusalem and go to war, and God will deliver his people, my people, and that there will be a turning of the Jewish people to the Messiah. And Zechariah 12:10 will come to pass, for he beat to Eliah to share Tekaron, and they'll look to me whom they've pierced, the Lord says, and they'll mourn for him, for Safdu Allah, they'll mourn over him. There'll be deep repentance, there'll be deep crying out to the Lord. And as we looked out over Jerusalem, it said, just seeing that the city is here, standing, thriving, proves to me, and again, it may leave you flat, I'm just telling you what I felt at that moment, looking out, proves to me the reality of the promises of God, proves to me the reality of he who scattered will regather, proves to me the reality of the words of Jesus himself, who said that Jerusalem would be trodden underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles were fulfilled. He spoke of a scattering of Jewish people, a judgment, because my people back then did not recognize the time of our visitation. Great hardship and pain has come upon us as a result of that in history. Oh, I don't mean every misfortune that's come upon us happened because we rejected Jesus. I'm saying there was the immediate judgment scattering Jesus. Yeshua said it would happen. The scattering would happen. But he also said it would happen until the times of the Gentiles were fulfilled. And then there would be a restoring of Jewish sovereignty. It would no longer be trodden underfoot by the Gentiles. I have no question that the rest of what he said will come to pass in Matthew 23, that a Jewish Jerusalem will welcome him back as Messiah. And I had a long talk with a young man on Friday night. Wish we had more time. Very nice, respectful young man. Raised in a home where he didn't really have his Jewish identity. His mom was Jewish. His father was not. His mother, he said, converted to Catholicism or something like that. He was raised without Jewish identity. Came over to Israel. Was studying in an Orthodox yeshiva, a place of rabbinic study to help people come to faith. In other words, not someone who's been raised in the traditional Jewish faith and has been in yeshiva kind of all their lives, but this is to help people come over, to convince them of things. And what has been the godsend for him that has enabled him to ask the tough questions and challenge the rabbis and has him really on the precipice, it seems, of coming to faith in Yeshua, has been the books that I wrote, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. And we talked at length, and I can't tell you how grateful I am to God that we've been able to put those out and make them available. And just walking in the city of Jerusalem today, old city, just guy come up to me with his wife and, hey, we saw you debate with Rabbi Shmuley in New York and we were studying your books and wanted to thank me. So I want to thank you, those of you who stand with us, who pray for us, those of you who stand with us with your one-time gifts, and in particular our torchbearers, our monthly supporters. You're with me here in Israel. I don't say that lightly. You carry us over here. You help us do the work we're doing, and you help energize it. So just want to invite all of you to stand with us. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size today, my thank you, will be my two-hour debate with Rabbi Shmuley, Kosher Jesus. So this was a hot one in New York City, March 13th. It's not for sale yet. So a two-hour DVD plus the two CDs of our Jerusalem interviews last week, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, coming here live from Jerusalem, when I see the city, when I see it thriving, when I see it full of life, when I see everything that's happened up to now, I have no question, the rest will come to pass. I've got more adventures, more insights, more things to report live from Jerusalem, taking your calls as well, right here today on the Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I cannot believe it. I've got 2 days left live from Jerusalem on this trip and then fly back to the States. And I've got 1 day live from Florida, Fort Lauderdale area, where we're doing a Jewish outreach. I'll give you more details on that so you can join me if you're in the area. And then back to North Carolina Friday. It's been a long trip, a blessed trip. Thanks for praying for us for grace and strength in the midst of it. I appreciate it. And I'm going to be taking Jewish-related calls, giving you some Jewish-related news. But I've also got a non-Jewish question for you that I want to throw out to you, all right? But here's the number to call with your questions or when I give mine to answer mine, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. All right, how many of you use Facebook? I know it's too much information. It can be just a waste of time or worse, but it can also be used redemptively. So how, use Facebook, just wave at me. Don't take both hands off the wheel. Okay, great. If you use Facebook, have you liked my fan page, Ask Dr. Brown? Yeah, your personal page can only have 5,000 friends, so I ran out of room ages ago on that, so you have to have what's called a fan page. So have you liked my fan page on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown? If so, go over there now. If not, like it as soon as you get a chance. And on the home page on Facebook, I posted a beautiful picture that was taken during our TV shoot yesterday in an ancient synagogue called Susia. May have even been dedicated to Yeshua. It's possible it was a Messianic Jewish synagogue. Otherwise, there seems to be some dedication in honor of someone's name, Yeshua, which was a common name in the ancient Jewish world. We got a great picture that we posted there together with Avner Bosky. He's lived in Israel many years. He'll be joining me on the air tomorrow. And Michael Redelnik, professor at Moody Bible Institute, that a few weeks from now will be joining me on the air. So go there, check this out. It's a great shot from the synagogue there in Susia. 866-34-TRUTH with your Jewish-related questions. But I want to throw out this question to you. Okay, you ready? Nancy sent me this just a few minutes ago. On political ticker blogs at CNN.com. Trending, actresses call out Romney on abortion in new ad. Well, the fact that you've got Hollywood actresses attacking you on abortion is actually a sign that you're on the right side, wouldn't you say? If I had Hollywood actresses attacking my views on abortion, I'd think, okay, I must be doing something right. Oh, not every Hollywood actress, but the best known by and large are going to be very much pro-abortion. Hollywood actresses Scarlett Johansson, Eva Longoria, and Kerry Washington are featured condemning Republicans for their stance on abortion in a new political ad from the liberal group MoveOn.org. And they've got these different quotes. Scarlett Johansson, I want to talk to you about women. And then Kerry Washington about Mitt Romney. Eva Longoria, Mitt Romney is for ending funding to Planned Parenthood. Scarlett Johansson chimes in, including cancer screenings. The ad continues, he'd overturn Roe v. Wade. Another, we have Republicans trying to redefine rape. And then Eva Longoria says, trying to force women to undergo invasive ultrasounds. Now, ultrasounds are not invasive procedures, unless someone means you're invading their privacy. But an ultrasound is not an invasive procedure. So here's my question. Do they think that women are so stupid that they're going to hear this, say, yeah, I'm not going to have an invasive ultrasound? Or do they think that the women just don't know, or it's just going to push some button and get someone reacting? But what do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. This is a separate question from the main thrust of the show today, but I'd like your input. Do they think women are stupid enough to believe that just because they say an ultrasound is invasive, that they'll say, oh, yeah, that's invasive, and they're going to force us to have it? What do you think? We'll be back.
World.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast coming your way live from Jerusalem. Having a wonderful time. Long days today. Left the hotel about 2 in the morning stateside time. And then, of course, radio for me. Stateside time is 2 in the afternoon, so 12 hours after leaving the hotel and just a couple hours after getting back to the hotel, time for radio. But my joy, I can't tell you how much I was looking forward to being on the air all day. It was hot out. We had some extended delays getting ready for some shoots. I talked about some of that in the first hour, some funny stories with it, so you can catch that later online. But just so blessed to be here with you. Thanks for tuning in. 866-348-7884. I will take any Jewish-related questions you have today, but especially if you have questions that tie in with, history of the land or archaeological issues or different things like that. You know, if you're on a tour guide kind of thing, my guest that's going to join me for both hours tomorrow has been a professional tour guide, and it's just a great, we're traveling, we're asking questions, because these stones here, these rocks here, what's this period from, where does this come from, what about this, because he just knows so much about that. But I'll take your Jewish-related questions, and I put out a question for you, 866-34-TRUTH. Put out a question for you. There is a new ad, Nancy just sent it to me earlier today, where Hollywood actresses are condemning Republicans and Mitt Romney for their stance on abortion. The Republican platform on abortion is excellent. The Democrat platform on abortion is horrific. And I have no question that the Democrats will carry their platform out. Well, the Republicans, I hope so. I hope so. But the negative one with Democrats, we've seen that happen. And you know that I am not identifying with one party, or I'm Mr. Republican. I'm just saying on abortion, the Republican platform is excellent, and the Democratic platform is horrific. So these Hollywood actresses are attacking the Republican platform. And one of the things they say in this ad is that the Republicans are trying to force women to undergo invasive ultrasounds. Ultrasounds are not invasive. Ultrasounds are not invasive. And Republicans, and the pro-life Republicans, want a woman, before she has an abortion, just to look at an ultrasound. Just see what you're going to do before you have an ultrasound. They're not invasive procedures. Do they think that women are so stupid? Does Eva Longoria, who says this, not know that an ultrasound is not invasive? I mean, what are they trying to do with this ad? We know what they're trying to do. We know the sentiment they're trying to stir, but do they think women are that stupid? Or help me understand this. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, one Jewish-related question, and then phone lines are jammed. I want to hear from women and men in answer to my question. Bill in Los Angeles, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. I could wish that I was accursed. I'm quoting out of the Bible, but I'm bringing it up to date. I could wish, as a Jew, that I was accursed from my own close relatives, my kinsmen, who everything was given to them through the old covenant and the new. But under the new covenant, they want to believe that as Jews, they're real special, whereas I believe the new covenant is saying the seed, one seed, has to refer to Jesus rather than a nation. What is your response on that?
Well, first, I don't know what you mean that Jews under the new covenant want to believe they're special. If we're saved, we're saved by the same blood, the same grace. And Romans 10 makes plain that there, in terms of salvation, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is richly blesses all who call on him. The seed of Abraham has three meanings in the Bible and is laid out in the New Testament. One is the specific seed, the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus. He is the ultimate one that was prophesied. A second is the physical descendants of Abraham, whom Paul reiterates in Romans 11, 28 and 29, even though they are enemies for the gospel, they are loved because of the fathers, because of the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. So those promises remain, and those are reiterated in the New Testament. There will be a national turning of the Jewish people. And then seed of Abraham at the end of Galatians 3 is used for all believers, Jew and Gentile. We are all children of faith in Abraham.
Okay. What I was referring to there was the fact that if you don't take the primary New Testament belief that Jesus came, fulfilled the law, and he replaced what we otherwise knew was through the nation or Israel and the law.
Where do you get that he replaced?
Well, he didn't replace the law.
He replaced the people. Where do you get that idea?
Well, he replaced the idea of we needing a nation to lead us as a world under the law or be an example. He mm-hmm. replaced it to become the single seed example that we're supposed to follow, whether we're Jew or Gentile.
Right, but he didn't displace the promises. In other words, one of Israel's missions was to bring the Messiah into the world, but that the job does not end there. In other words, Israel still has promises from God. Israel still has been under judgment from God, and Jesus made plain that those promises will be fulfilled and even presupposed.
I agree 100%, but not. Here's where I have a problem with it. We live here shortly on this earth. We're only briefly a whisper, a little breath of wind, and we're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Where we go to obviously has to be some kind of a material world that's out there for eternity, as far as we can tell. So what I'm saying is that if I die, I can still look for promises to be fulfilled that weren't fulfilled here in this brief little life.
Oh, yeah,
so
it is true.
Here's what's important, though, Bill, just to jump in.
Let me just finish this thought, though. There are promises that have to be fulfilled in this world because they have to do with this world. And there are certain things that can only happen in this world. In other words, if I'm praying for a loved one to be saved, they can only be saved in this world. If they're not, then I can't reverse that through prayer in the world to come. And there are promises that God gave to Israel that have to do with them turning back in repentance and welcoming back the Messiah. The gospel must go to all nations, and then there also must be a national turning of Israel, which Paul says in Romans 11 will be life from the dead. So this all has to do with God's salvation plan in this world, and those promises still must be fulfilled, and some of them pertain to Israel. Hey, got to run. Want to get to some other calls, but Bill, thank you for the interaction. 866-34-TRUTH. So my question about this ad that's going to be running in certain key swing states to try to stir up sentiment against Mitt Romney and the Republicans. The Republicans, quote, according to Eva Longoria, are trying to force women to undergo invasive ultrasounds. Do they think women are that stupid that the moment they hear invasive ultrasounds, they'll say, oh, yeah, it's this terribly invasive procedure, or don't most women know it's not? I mean, who are they trying to target or influence with a line like that? What do you think? We'll start with Yvonne in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's where I am. Normally I'm in Jerusalem now, but you're in Charlotte holding down the fort for us. Nice to hear from you.
That's okay. I have a question about Jerusalem, too, but I'll talk
that's
about
right.
my opinion. I wanted to just basically say that most intelligent women can discern the difference between ads and what's being said. I enjoy listening to your show so that as a theologian, I expect that you highlight the truth because it's important because there's negativity on both sides.
You bet.
And there are some people that just don't know the difference, and somebody out there has to be able to say what is truth, and that's what your show is about. So I'm just so tired of the negativity, period. But at the same time, we're supposed to love our brothers and sisters who are ignorant and pray for them.
Yeah.
You know, that they find the truth and they learn the truth. Our nation really needs truth telling. So that
I'll tell you, one other thing, Yvonne. Even let's just say there's a commercial for a candidate that I like,
mm-hmm.
and a commercial for a candidate I don't like. Well, obviously, I don't appreciate if I feel that the one for the candidate I don't like is being dishonest. But I'm fully aware that people watching the commercial of the candidate I like, they're thinking that's dishonest and that everybody's bashing everybody. And yeah. And I don't think we'll see the day soon where political campaigning is just
my car.
All right, hang in there.
No. Okay, thank you. Oh no.
All right, blessings to Yvonne, Lord grace to her and turn the situation for good. Hey Joey, have we ever had in our history of broadcasting someone have something like that happen to their car while they're on the air? Well, no. But what I wanted to say was this. Again, grace to Yvonne in this situation. Why does there have to be all attack, attack, attack in these political ads? No matter what side you're on, it's just sickening. I'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. I encourage you to be tuning in through the week this week. First thing, tomorrow night will be my last night live from Israel on this trip, and I'll be joined by Avner Bosky, who is a tour guide here. He's a solid believer with an amazing background and just knows so much about everything in the land. We're going to have a fascinating conversation for 2 whole hours tomorrow, God willing, after we do our TV shoot during the daytime for the Day of Discovery. Then Wednesday, that's going to be a travel day as I'm flying back through the day, pretty much the entire day. I don't know, 14, 18, 20 hours of travel, something like that, to get back all the way. But I'm going to have a specially prepared broadcast that I believe will bring a very real challenge and strength to you on Wednesday. Thursday, coming away live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, before doing a Jewish outreach Thursday night. And then Friday afternoon back in Charlotte, God willing, before we start our missions conference. And I'll give you a report on the outreach. So every day this week is going to be important. 866-348-7884. My question, again, I want to go right to the phones. When actresses are getting on an ad now sponsored by the radical left liberal MoveOn.org attacking the Republican position on abortion, the Republican pro-life position, and Eva Longoria says they're trying to force women to undergo invasive ultrasounds, are they thinking? They can't think that women are so dumb that they'll think an ultrasound is invasive. They're just using that word to try to scare people. Thinking they don't know what an, I mean, how many women don't know what an ultrasound is? I don't know. I'm asking that question. And then on top of it, are they saying it invades your privacy? I mean, what do you think their point is? Who are they trying to convince? 866-34-TRUTH. Lori in Portland, Oregon, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I work for a center, I volunteer at a center that is a resource for pregnant women. And I just wanted to clarify, actually there is such a thing as an ultrasound that's called an invasive ultrasound, and that's the one that's done by putting a probe vaginally. And those are called invasive ultrasounds.
Let me just thank you for that clarification, because I mean it's completely unrelated to any pro-life policies that I know of. In which case, that would be completely dishonest.
It has nothing to do with my problem with I haven't seen the ad you're talking about. My problem is with the word forced. Of course, those are not forced. It's and like I said, I'm still in training as a volunteer there, but I have been used 2 times as what they call a client advocate. When somebody comes by themselves for an ultrasound, we don't like to leave them in the room alone with a nurse. And so somebody comes in, just to be there, just for no other purpose than to stand against the wall while it's happening. And so in both of those cases, again, the word invasive ultrasound was used, but it was only used because the person was in such an early stage of pregnancy, and there was just they first did the other kind of ultrasound that is done with a gel on the belly, and not enough was seen, and then they asked the person, this is the other kind we do, we will give it to you, you insert it yourself, and so that we can have a better look.
So Lori, let me just ask you this. How do you feel about the pro-life position that before a woman's going to have an abortion, some states have sought to pass this, before she's going to have an abortion, that she has to look at an ultrasound just so she understands what she's doing. We're not talking about an invasive, just a normal ultrasound. So she understands that this is the baby in her womb, this is what we're talking about. And before you can abort the baby, you just need to look at the ultrasound. How do you feel about that?
Again, the word forth, I mean, we are very, very, very pro-life. We are a Christian organization. We are very pro-life. But everything is about the woman and her well-being first, and we have to care about how she feels and what, you know, all of this means to her. We are very excited about ultrasounds being used because the whole point of it is to make a woman aware that that's a live human being that she has there. And worst of all, or an additional consideration is when a woman has an abortion, she's not only killing a child, she's destroying her own life. That will,
yes,
that will, you know, haunt her and come back. We also have a service, you know, for women who have had abortions to about wonderful counseling, healing group situations.
Right. So many women afterwards, some are scarred physically. Some have a hard time conceiving after that. Others, many are scarred emotionally for many years. Of course, you don't hear about this. But Lori, I appreciate you volunteering. It's a good work you're doing. It's an important work. And may the Lord use you and the clinic to bring life and hope to these mothers and these babies and to many of the dads as well. Hey, I appreciate you calling and I appreciate your candor. Thanks so much. 866-348-7884. I'll go back to the phones shortly, but being here in Israel, I do not have a sentimentalized love for my Jewish people. Oh, the Jews. Oh, Israel. Oh, there are many things about Israel just wonderful and just amazing. And there are many things about the Israeli people. There are many things about the Orthodox Jews within Israel that are highly commendable. And then we recognize it's a very lost society and lost people. And that an Israeli woman in the army is allowed, what, 2 free abortions. There's plenty of immorality, plenty of sin. People need the Lord here in Israel. And in the ultra-Orthodox community where there's great, great devotion and very, very high moral standards, I took a picture of a sign today going up to the wall for prayer and things like that, that there's a sign saying that the great leaders of Israel, meaning the great Jewish rabbis, the leaders, are calling for modest attire, calling on the women to wear modest attire and saying that it will stop prayers from being answered, immodesty. There's much to commend in terms of modesty and family and values and love for God's law, and yet militant rejection of Jesus. I'm not here sentimentalizing and saying, oh, the Jews. I'm saying God made promises, and God's going to keep those promises. And here you are in a country surrounded by hostile enemies who want to wipe you out. In fact, a quote from Mohammed Morsi, the leader of, or not Morsi, excuse me, but one of the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, calling for the raising of jihad against Jerusalem and Israel. The head of the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood called for Muslims to raise the flag of jihad to liberate Jerusalem. Mohammed Badi said negotiations are pointless. Let Muslims know and let believers be certain, meaning Muslim believers, the recovery of the holy sites and the safeguardings of goods and blood from the hands of the Jews will not be through the corridors of the UN, nor through negotiations. The Zionists will not step back from transgression unless they are forced to. This will only be by holy jihad and enormous sacrifices and all forms of resistance. Friends, that's what the enemies of Israel say. Israel needs your prayers. And I need your prayers as we are on the front lines of reaching out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Stand with us, friends, as we make a difference in reaching Jewish people with the good news of Jesus. We will be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, I've got 30 minutes live from Israel today, and then 2 hours live from Israel tomorrow, and then I go home. Boy, these have been special times. I wish you could have been out on some of these TV shoots with me. Some amazing places. I put on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook, a picture from an ancient synagogue in Susia. It's about two and a half hours from our hotel in Jerusalem, using the 4th to 9th centuries. We did some great TV shoots yesterday. I can't wait to see these on the Day of Discovery. But so glad to be with you, taking your calls. On Friday, I did not do You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers broadcast. So I'm going to try to make up for some lost time today. And tomorrow, I've got a special guest who will be joining me who's just got an amazing amount of information, having lived in the land for years, and an extraordinarily fascinating background. So today, tomorrow, great days to take your calls. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Okay, you live in Florida. How many of you live in Florida? Just nod. Okay, let me count. See, gotcha. Good, good. Something, maybe it's a kid listening. How does he do that? Well, that's why they call me Dr. Brown, because I didn't see those kinds of things. Okay. October 18th. When is that? Thursday night in Tamara, Florida. Thursday night, 7 p.m. I'm going to be doing a Jewish outreach lecture, Anti-Semitism, Who is the Real Enemy, at Diamante's Event Center. It's Tamara, Florida. If you want more info, just go to askdrbrown.org and click on my itinerary right on the bottom of the page. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I answer some Jewish-related questions and give you some further Jewish updates of interest, I've asked a question the last half hour, just begun to discuss it. I want to put it out afresh. There is an ad that will be running in different swing states before the elections, put out by MoveOn.org, radical left-wing group, featuring prominent actresses Scarlett Johansson, Eva Longoria, Kerry Washington, and they are condemning the Republicans for their stance on abortion. So when you have these Hollywood actresses who are radically pro-abortion, radically against the pro-life position, attacking you, to me, it's a good sign when you're being attacked. So good for the Republicans to be attacked. Obviously, their platform on abortion is massively better, almost infinitely better than the Democratic platform on abortion. But one of the statements by Eva Longoria is that they're trying to force women to undergo invasive ultrasound. Now, an invasive ultrasound would only be, as a caller clarified in the last half hour, where there has to be an insertion, vaginal insertion of an ultrasound, because the pregnancy is in such an early stage. Otherwise, ultrasounds are not invasive. And there are pro-life leaders, certain states have tried to get this passed, that say if you're going to have an abortion, you just have to see an ultrasound first. And something like 75% of the women who see ultrasounds choose not to abort their babies. Both of our daughters, who had strong pro-life values growing up and that never changed through their lives, both of them, when they were pregnant with their first kids and the thought of abortion had never entered their minds because they weren't raised to think like that and it was not in their own values, when they saw the ultrasound, each of them with their first child they were pregnant with, you know the first thought they each had independently? How could anyone ever abort their baby? That was the first thought, and it's very common to have that thought. So when a woman actually sees the baby that she's going to abort on ultrasound, something like three quarters, maybe even higher, decide not to abort the baby. So there's some states that say, before you abort the baby, there's going to be an ultrasound done, and you just have to look at it. The mother just has to look at that. Well, this ad says that you'd be forcing people to have invasive ultrasounds, which is either just giving a wrong impression of ultrasounds or talking about ones that no one's even talking about. Do they think women are that stupid that they can just put out this kind of rhetoric and they're just going to believe it? What do you think? I want to hear from you, 866-348-7884, and then take your Jewish-related questions as time permits. We'll be right back. Change the world. God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us as the clock is ticking on my time here in Israel tonight and tomorrow. Left the hotel, scheduled to be about 2 a.m. stateside time for me, Eastern Standard Time, and then started radio about 2 p.m. So, yeah, it's been a long day, but I'm blessed. Radio is priority. My joy to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. I do have some Jewish news items I want to talk to you about. But first, back to this subject of abortion and these Hollywood actresses blasting the Republican Party. Jennifer in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Well, I actually don't think that I can say any more, add to what Lori in Portland said. I was vaguely aware from something I'd heard recently that an ultrasound, you know, could be performed in the way that she described in certain cases. So I think that that's probably what the issue is over. But what's so interesting about it to me, the irony, if I believed in irony, is that that is considered an invasive procedure, but then what is an abortion? My goodness.
Come on.
I don't want to put anybody down, you know. I guess what this speaks to me is the church, again, needs to draw closer to the Lord and be different and be the example that we are supposed to be. I think as one of the spots, you know, between segments here was on, I was listening, and John MacArthur spoke to that and said that, you know, unbelievers are allowed by God to bring persecution and even to point out things that are not straight in the church. And that's our call, to get it straight. So go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I just want to go back to this one important point, though, which is that people could be saying this is not right, this is not fair, an alleged invasive procedure. And I say alleged because any of the laws I've been aware of where a woman would have to have an ultrasound before having an abortion, it was not an invasive ultrasound that they were speaking of. But the idea that that would be some horrific violation, and yet that the woman in the clinic there, the abortion mill, could then kill the baby in the womb, and that's not invasive, it's by her choice. She can do that, and they can do it. What a hypocritical disaster. But you're right, Jennifer. It comes down to God's people waking up, and I think we can both join hearts just based on your own tone of voice and saying to all of you listening, all the women listening who've had abortions in your past, this is not the unforgivable sin. This is not the unforgivable sin. And if you're a follower of Jesus, and you've turned to him and asked for his forgiveness, he does not hold this over you and say, you wicked person, you wicked woman, how could you ever do this? If you were the father of the baby and you were complicit in the abortion, it's not the unforgivable sin. Oh, it is a terrible loss of life. And you may feel an emotional wound because of it and a loss and a grief, but it's something that God can forgive. And when you turn to him in true repentance, Lord, what I did was wrong. I recognize it was wrong. I asked you to forgive me, cleanse me, wash me. Jesus died for that. He paid for that as well. And he wants to use you to bring hope and life to others. Don't let the devil condemn you with sins of your past. Don't let the devil condemn you with bad decisions you made. You might not have even known the Lord when you did. You may have been under duress and not thinking clearly, and who knows what else was going on, and you deeply regret it. God understands, and he forgives as we turn to him. But the only reason that we still have abortion on demand in our cities across America is because of the lethargy and apathy of the church. If we were praying for people as we should, if we were not in our own circles, say our Christian college campuses, having young women aborting babies because they're not walking with the Lord rightly, and if we were making a difference with pregnancy clinics and adoption programs and getting involved, preaching the gospel, sharing the good news, giving hope in front of the abortion clinics, things would change within a year. If 1/10 of the Church of America rose up, things would change within a year. 866 for Truth. Joe in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
Yes, well, after listening to the your two previous callers, the subject invasive, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I thought an ultrasound was just laying the device on the lady's stomach and would kill the gel.
Yeah, it is, except
I've changed
as
a little bit. I'm listening.
So just to clarify that, and again, without getting into too much detail, a previous caller that works at a pregnancy clinic, pro-life, last hour mentioned that in the early stages of pregnancy, where a normal ultrasound might not work properly, that there is an invasive one where the woman would do to herself in inserting the camera, whatever's used for ultrasound, into her body so that images could be seen. But that is not what pro-life people are requiring or asking for in certain states. And the idea that all the Republicans are trying to get women to have an invasive procedure performed is a misnomer. It's just a way of getting out misinformation.
I understand. I just didn't know that. I thought I learned a little something. But originally what I was going to say was that it's not the question is, do the Hollywood actresses think the ladies out here are that stupid? What I was originally going to say, well, aren't they that stupid? That's a little curt. But I think the previous caller had it right. We just got to get back to being the church and preaching abstinence. And when you're here in my hometown of Winston-Salem, it's not uncommon to see women with three or four different children from three or four different fathers. So it's just we've got to get back to preaching the gospel. And if we don't, we're just going to continue to go down the road of hell.
Yeah, you know, Joe, we have to be disciples. We have to live differently. We have to live godly lives, and we have to make disciples. As people come to faith, we show them how to live in the Lord, and they live differently. And we have a message of hope for people who are hopeless. Hey, Joe, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll stay with this subject a little longer. Then I'm going to shift gears. So we'll get a couple more calls. John in Lincolnton, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
North Carolina is invading the station today.
Oh, yeah, man. In fact, we had a caller from Charlotte. Got her, I think, her car scratched while she was on the phone. This had a run.
Heard that.
So
wow.
Yeah, hopefully you'll be all right. Yeah, our friend Yvonne. Go ahead.
I was going to say right quick, Israel. I was there twice in the 80s, thanks to the U.S. Navy. And
uh-huh.
I love the place, love the people. Definitely a beautiful place, and I'd love to go back. The main thing about Hollywood trying to do this, like you, I consider myself a Christian before I'm a Democrat or a Republican or whatever. And even as a patriotic American, I consider myself a Christian even before I'm an American. Or in order above American, because my residency is in heaven. All
mm-hmm.
of that said, I do find it, is it curious, I guess, that a lot of people, when they don't know facts, they will repeat rhetoric instead of listen to the facts?
Yes,
and I'm
sir.
Wondering if that is not the deal. And when it comes to the abortion clinic, I had heard a story about the American Medical Association wanted to make abortion clinics compliant with cleanliness standards, just like any outpatient clinic, minor emergency, or a doctor's office. And they had spent over $10 million in attorneys to stop that.
Yeah, and you know the argument is normally that there's going to be some type of some action that's going to be taken that's going to hurt them, but in point of fact, many have been in violation, John, and there have been cases of women dying because of poor conditions. Yeah, exactly. So it's hideous enough that things go on even with cleanly conditions, the killing of babies. But yeah, John, for sure, rhetoric. A lot of the political ads are just designed to provoke a reaction, and they're not going to be based on truth.
Amen. I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but my mind has to think, if you're willing to spend 8 digits to prevent something, what are you hiding?
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. Appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. One more call on the abortion issue. Paul in Tampa, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Listen, I'm a chief technologist at a medical diagnostic center, and I can tell you that it is a non-invasive ultrasound. It's an abdominal external ultrasound. All it does is show the baby and show the beating heart. And I've seen people that have come in just for that very reason come back 6 months, 8 months later with a baby on their hip with their mother for her ultrasound. Now, my other question is, when are the denominations going to put away their own rhetoric, our own Christian denominations going to put away their own rhetoric and join the Catholic Church on the street corners in Tampa out in front of the abortion mill? I am out there once a month religiously with my whole family and a group of people from my parish, and I do not see any of my Protestant brothers and sisters out there with us.
Joel, Paul, that's a good question. Believers in Tampa, there are abortion mills that need a Christian witness, loving witness of truth, witness of hope. Where are you? Join forces. You'll make a difference. Thank you, Paul.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There is some neat news unfolding about getting the Real Kosher Jesus book out in Hebrew and getting it distributed freely to believers all through the country and into the hands of unbelievers. So just developing in the last few days, I'll have more news to report about that shortly. Remember, if you're in the greater Fort Lauderdale, Boca Raton area of Florida, I'll be doing an outreach this outreach lecture this Thursday night. It should be a fascinating night. I'm going to talk about the spiritual dimensions of anti-Semitism and ultimately point towards Jesus, Yeshua, and we'll have open mic Q&A. So just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and right on the bottom of the page, you'll see the itinerary. And then if you go to my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask KDR Brown, you will see a great shot from a synagogue in Susia, an ancient synagogue that may have, it's possible, it's 4th to 9th century, it's possible, it may have actually been a Messianic Jewish synagogue, a place where Jewish followers of Jesus, Yeshua, met based on a dedication in the synagogue to Yeshua, and it could have just been someone else by that name. It's possible. We don't, it's just, it's very interesting to look at and see that inscription. It's a great shot from our TV shoot with Day of Discovery there yesterday. And little reading assignment for you. Sent it to someone earlier, and they said this is compellingly written, and it's got my blood boiling. It's called The Diversity Police Strike Again. You'll find out why a deaf African-American woman who served her university, Gallaudet University in Washington, D.C., for 23 years, served apparently with distinction, earned a Ph.D. there, and it's a university for the deaf, why she was placed on administrative leave. You want to read this, go to charismanews.com, charismanews.com, and just click on opinion, and you will see that story. All right, just got this article sent to me earlier today. The University of California at Berkeley has a question about hostile environment. There are anti-Israel protests that take place at the university. And there is often an environment that is considered to be so anti-Jewish that Jewish students are concerned to walk on campus at times, say a guy wearing a yarmulke, identifying him as a religious Jew, afraid to do that because of repercussions. The article says in the latest chapter of a long-running controversy over anti-Israel protests at UC Berkeley, the U.S. Department of Education has launched an investigation into whether Jewish students at the university are the victims. This is UC Berkeley, California. We're not talking about a university in Gaza on the West Bank. This is an American university, and this is becoming increasingly common. The question is to whether they are victims of a pervasive, hostile environment in violation of federal civil rights laws. Given the importance of free speech, especially the university setting, the department needs to tread carefully. And there's a claim that there is a dangerous anti-Semitic climate at Berkeley. The lawyers for some of these grads say that the university's actions present a disturbing echo of incitement, intimidation, harassment, and violence carried out under the Nazi regime against Jewish students and scholars in the leading universities. So similar to what was done by the Nazis, there's an echo of that same provocation which demonizes Jews. Central to the complaint is an annual demonstration known as Apartheid Week. Now, I gave a lecture at University of South Florida in Tampa in April or earlier this year. Gave a lecture there. It was in conjunction with what was going to be an Israeli Apartheid Week. This is an Israel bashing week, and makes Israel out to this evil nation that's guilty of ethnic cleansing and genocide. I mean, horrific claims brought against Israel. Absolutely false, libelous, ugly claims brought against Israel. It's an apartheid state and so on. And these things can be very provocatory on campuses. And there was going to be one at University of South Florida. We tried to get someone to debate me to take the other side. Couldn't find anybody. We said, we're just going to have, let's model dialogue so we can talk through these issues. Couldn't find anyone. It ended up that the Apartheid Week got canceled there, but these are held at campuses all over America. And I gave my lecture there, Is Israel an Evil Occupier? So one Jewish student has alleged that a protester assaulted her with a shopping cart during Apartheid Week in 2010. But the question is, we don't, I don't know about that specific charge, but the question is this inciting angry, hostile feelings towards Jewish people by demonizing them, or in fact, is this just presenting the truth about evil Israel? You know, being in Israel, being on the front lines here, being in the midst of what's happening in the society, talking to people who've served in the military, talking to the average Israeli. If you missed the broadcast from the end of last week where I interviewed leaders in Jerusalem, their hearts are hearts of reconciliation. Many of them have been working with Arab believers in different nations and in the so-called occupied territories for years, some for decades. They have a heart of reconciliation. It's not, these are the enemies, we're going to kill them and wipe them out. And yet Israel is made into the terrorist organization because there is a wall. It's 97% fence, 3% wall, to keep out murderers, Islamic murderers of Jewish people. And it's been highly successful. That because it's keeping certain people out. Israel is now a Nazi terrorist, ethnic cleansing, apartheid, genocidal nation. Nonsense. And any Christians that make that claim, I say to you, nonsense. It's a shamefully false, libelous, destructive claim. And if you really care about justice for all, then speak the truth. All right. I want to invite you, friends, to stand with me. I'm not just talking about ministry in Israel. I'm here in Israel. I'm not just talking about Jewish outreach. We're doing Jewish outreach. I'm not just talking about standing on the front lines and making a difference in the lives of people. By God's grace, we're doing it, and you're helping me do it. With your funds, with your prayerful support, we can do so much more. As I've talked to folks here in the land, there's so many things we would like to do as we're getting more and more of our material out in Hebrew, through internet and in written form. There's so much to happen, but we need your help and support. So my gift of appreciation for your gift of any size, be as generous as you can, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, but your gift of any size, I want to send you my two-hour DVD that we just got. I saw it before it was printed, but I haven't even seen the finished product because I've been in Israel. My two-hour debate with Rabbi Shmuley, the real kosher Jesus, not the one moderated by my friend Sid Roth. This is one where the two of us just went at it, New York City, March 13th. It was an amazing night. Two-hour DVD, plus the two CDs of my interviews with leaders from Israel and Jerusalem last week, eye-opening. I've just seen some notes of folks as the best broadcast they ever heard on the Line of Fire. Your gift of any size, I will send all that out to you. I don't know, $30-something dollar value or more. My gift of appreciation for your gift of any size to stand with us as we finish our ministry here in Israel and we reach out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Call right now to order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-978. Perhaps you could become a torchbearer, monthly supporter, sending at least $25 or more per month. We'll send you a fresh new message every month, prayer updates, highlight testimonies. You get free access to our online classes, and you get also a 15% discount on our online bookstore if you become a torchbearer. So maybe God's laying it on your heart to take that step of faith with us. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, as I prayed at the Wailing Wall, I was reminded once again of my Jewish people, of the religious Jews, so near and yet so far. Pray for the shepherd.